This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
What's up, sisters and friends? Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome back. Y'all, I'm so excited to dive into this week's podcast because last time I had my mom on, we talked about, is it okay biblically for Christians to get tattoos? And we had such a great conversation, just opening the word and just really seeking the heart of Jesus over that topic. And it was awesome. So many of y'all dived in with us and love that. And then I asked at the end, hey, if you have other questions that you want us to dive into that are maybe hard topics, maybe topics you've never understood, please leave comments. And we had so many comments of tons of different topics that we hope to get to and we want to get to. I think this is going to be an ongoing series of just opening the word and trying to understand the heart of Jesus and conversations that might be hard to talk about. And so today we're actually going to talk about modesty. A lot of you brought up the topic of modesty, and modesty is a really hard topic to cover. Actually, even when I was looking up modesty in the church, I wasn't really finding a lot of resources on YouTube. I wasn't really finding, actually my video popped up first that I did 4 years ago. And I was like, wow, I definitely didn't think my video was gonna be the top one when you type in, you know, modesty in the church, but it was. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool, because when I talked about modesty 4 years ago on a YouTube video, maybe we can link it somewhere that you can see it. It was about a 4 to 5 minute long video of me just kind of sharing something that God kind of revealed to me about modesty. And I think that that hit for a lot of people, because something I saw in the comments mainly was like, wow, like, thank you for not shaming people who dress immodestly, because a lot of times when people talk about modesty, it can come with a lot of shame for those who don't dress modestly, or it can come with almost just like a rude spirit or a judgmental spirit. And that is not in any way, shape, or form the way that we want to present the topic of modesty. And I actually think that that can be really dangerous in and of itself. And so Mom and I were talking about modesty the other day, and we were like, even us talking about it, it's like a messy conversation. It's not perfect. We don't have all the answers. It's not perfectly laid out or said in maybe even the best way. But Mom was like, you know what? Like, we should do this podcast even if we don't have the perfect thing to say, because even people listening to this conversation, I think, is going to grow us closer to the Lord and grow us in a better understanding of this topic. And hopefully can change our hearts in some ways, you know, for what that looks like. And if you're someone who's uber modest, maybe you can soften your heart towards those who are. And if you're someone who's not modest at all, maybe this will help you consider what it looks like to dress in a modest way, and not even dress, but represent modesty in your life. And that's what I talked about in that 4 to 5 minute video. It was more like modesty is not so much of just what you wear, but it's what you represent. And I think that that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today. Yeah. We're going to open the Bible once again. We're going to read what the Bible says. We're going to unpack that. And then we're going to kind of talk about culture and also even take it to the definition of what modesty is by, like, Google. What actually is modesty? So I'm really excited. Mom, you want to dive in just by starting with scripture, but also just want to say you dress very modestly today.
Thank you. I actually thought about it when I put this. I like did not intend to like wear a turtleneck when we talk about modesty, but I put it on. I was like, wait a minute, did I subconsciously just choose a turtleneck today because of this conversation?
Like, what is modest?
It's fall. It's you know, fall. And
time is
like, this is in style, right?
This is in style. Okay, you look great. You look great.
Thank you. Yeah, I love that we're talking about this. I do think that it is interesting. As we talked, you know, just at the house the other day, it was so interesting how we were like just kind of like all around it. We were just like, okay, there's no like, we don't know exactly what we're going to say on this podcast, but let's just have this conversation publicly for other people to listen to. And I think a part of what's good about that is, you know, in your comments and in people asking, like, people are genuinely asking, and they're asking for a reason because they really want to understand the heart of God. They want to do what the Bible, what God's word tells us to do. They want to live in that way. And it's not because, like, I want to be judgmental, or I want to be like try to get away with something or want to whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, I actually want to understand the heart of God in this, yeah, in this topic, in this matter. And so let's have a conversation about it.
Let's do it.
All right.
I'm excited.
So I was thinking that if you grew up in the church at all, grew up in the youth group, there's one scripture in the Bible that you definitely heard, you definitely were read, you definitely, you know, it's like the go-to modesty scripture. And as I was looking, I think it's really the only place that actually says something, you know,
explicitly with the word
like modesty. Right. Okay. So that's 1 Timothy, and it's 2:9. All right. And it says, this is Paul, you know, writing to Timothy, his son in the faith is what he said. And he's giving instructions for worship and for the church, for the overseers and deacons and all that. And so he says this right here. I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. And so I think a lot of times where we've gone with that, at least I remember in youth group, where we went with that is like, oh, dress modestly. That means, you know, wear the turtleneck or and don't wear the swimsuit. Make sure you wear a t-shirt and shorts if you're swimming with boys, you know, all this kind of thing. But as I, you know, even when I was a teenager, I was like, but wait a minute. That's
actually
yeah, modestly. And then it goes on to explain kind of what women to dress modestly. What does that look like? With decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes.
Yeah.
And if you look up the definition of modesty, it's not about wearing a turtleneck or covering your whole body. It's really about simplicity.
Yeah.
Things like, you know, overindulgence, things like that. And actually, when you think about that way, I think particularly for the American church, like that can even be more challenging.
Yeah.
Because we're wearing jewelry right now.
Yeah.
I have on gold earrings, you know, sometimes I braid my hair.
Yeah. I love to braid my hair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, okay. Like, what is he saying right here? And I think like everything else, because Jesus always takes it back to the heart of the matter. What's the heart of the matter? And I think that's what we need to actually look at today.
I wanted to read 1 Peter because in 1 Peter 3, it also talks about this. But it's interesting because, so that was Paul talking, this is Peter. And they say kind of the same thing, essentially. But what it says, it's talking about wives and husbands. And in 1 Peter 3:3, it says, do not let your adorning, so your beauty, be external, the braiding of the hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. Which right there, like, I thought it was interesting that he also referenced the braiding of the hair and the gold jewelry. Because I guess, like, at the time, that would have been, like, the extravagant, you know, like, braiding your hair. Like nowadays, if I braid my hair, it's because my hair is greasy. You know, it's like, I actually just need a few more days, like braid my hair, you know, or gold jewelry. I mean, that's just trendy. It's not, I'm not really drawing much attention by wearing my gold jewelry, but at the time it was. But then it says this, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning, let your beauty be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. And I just thought that was so good. I think like so many times, like the church, it's like we get focused on like, okay, the braiding of the hair, the gold jewelry, instead of like, no, like what actually are they talking about? They're talking about like the imperishable beauty, like true modesty is like the gentle and the quiet spirit of your heart. Like that's what is like precious to the Lord. And I think why we get so caught up on like the gold jewelry, like the braided hair, and then we're like checking out as anybody, but nobody's actually like in the church being like, oh, you have braided hair, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden it's like, you didn't wear a t-shirt, you know, when you were swimming, or you... your shorts are longer than like your fingertips, or like is your hand like the cleavage to the tank top, like and the spaghetti strap, is it, you know, covering your shoulder, you know, all those things. And all of a sudden, like, we're focusing on like what the like culture and like the trends are, instead of like what actually God was originally asking of us, like, where is your heart? Like, do you have a gentle, do you have a quiet spirit? Which I do think is a challenge, especially for this generation. And I wanted to read the definition of modesty. This is a definition of modesty. It says, The quality or state, there's three definitions. Obviously, a little bit different meanings for each of these, but I'm just going to read them all. It says the quality of state of being unassuming or moderate in the estimation of one's abilities. Then it says the quality of being relatively moderate, limited or small in amount, rate, or level. Then it says the behavior, manner, or appearance intended to avoid improperty or indecency.
Impropriety.
Impropriety. Thank you. I am dyslexic. Impropriety or indecency. I actually am dyslexic. I'm not knocking on dyslexic people. I mispronounce things all the time. Or indecency. And I think that, just reading this, I'm like, that is such a challenge for this generation.
Yeah.
Because everything culture is telling you to do is like, basically, like being
be
praised to yourself,
put
like
yourself
be bold,
out there.
Put yourself out there, live the best you.
Make
like,
sure people notice you.
Yes,
you
like
know?
Do people like you? Like, are people commenting on your picture? Like, are you noticed? Are you? And even like when you see like the trends of culture, like it is like less is definitely more to them. Mm-hmm. All the jewelry, all the crazy hair, mm-hmm. all the things, like because you're trying to like draw attention to like who you are.
Yeah,
and so like to live modestly is to live completely counterculture. Right now, mm-hmm. and to be like, hey, like, I'm actually okay with being quiet mm-hmm. in spirit. I'm yeah. actually okay with sitting here and being mm-hmm. content and who I am without needing to prove myself by what I wear or needing
right.
to prove myself by how loud I am or prove myself by all the things that I'm doing mm-hmm. or that I'm known for. Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
And so one of the things I wrote down like three questions that I think are kind of like good questions to ask yourself. And one of them was like, are you dressing out of a place of contentment or like to get something?
Yeah.
And I think that that is a standard of like modesty. Like mm-hmm. if I'm dressing from a place of contentment, like I'm dressing the way that I want to dress because I feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. I feel beautiful. I think it's okay. You want to feel beautiful.
You wanna feel beautiful. Mm-hmm.
I feel like myself. I feel authentic to who I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to dress in such a way to get attention. I'm trying to dress in such a way to get approval. I'm not trying to dress in such a way to get other people to notice me. Mm-hmm. I think like if you're dressing in such a way to get attention, to get people to notice you, to get certain attention in certain areas, well, I think that's immodest.
Yeah.
But to dress in such a way that comes from contentment, to feel beautiful, to feel lovely, to feel like you are being totally authentic to who mm-hmm. you're created to be, then I think that that's a modest way to dress. So
that's
I think
good.
You can't say like, oh, well, is it a tank top? Is it shorts? Is it this? Is it that? Yeah. I don't even think that's like the right way to look at it. I think it's like, are you content?
Yeah.
Or are you trying to prove something?
Right. Are you trying to get attention for yourself because of the expensiveness of your clothes?
Yeah.
The flashiness of it, or because of the sexual attention that you might get in the way that you dress? Like, all those things are ways that we can be immodest.
Yeah.
But it's not about, it's back to the heart.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about a specific list of rules and regulations that make you modest, you know.
Yeah.
It's about the heart.
Yeah. And again, if it was about the certain rules and things like that, then we still shouldn't braid our hair.
Right.
But once again, if you look at my heart when I braid my hair, like I said, I got greasy hair. It's not about trying to get any kind of attention. Yeah. It's not about trying to be extravagant. It's about trying to be practical, honestly.
Yeah. I was thinking about how if you look at culture, even today, you know, the way people dress in different cultures around the world is different.
Yeah.
You know, it's different. What is acceptable in one place is not acceptable somewhere else. What's acceptable, even in culture.
Yeah.
If you look at, you know, over time periods, you know, if you look at what the dress that was acceptable in that time period and what's acceptable now, even if you look at situations, like would you wear to the beach if I wore it to the office?
That's
would cause a lot of attention.
That's so true.
You know, if I wore what I wore to the beach, to the office, it would be like, whoa, it would draw attention to me and would not be modest. But what I wear and I wear it to the beach, it's appropriate for the situation. And so I think that that's something that we have to be careful of, is not to assign like biblical truth to things that change culturally, change over time and all that. But the biblical truth that is there, that is eternal, is the gentle and quiet spirit, the modesty, the things that are in the heart.
That's so good.
Sure.
That will always remain true. And that was even true in 1 Samuel whenever they were going to anoint the new king, right? Mm-hmm. And Samuel's going to anoint the new king. And God's about to call David to be the new king. Well, David was the last son of Jesse. He's a shepherd boy. He's not fit to really be king. And God tells Samuel, don't look at the outward appearance. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Yeah.
Well, that same truth is still true here in the New Testament, like a long time later, you know?
Yes.
And they're still saying, you know, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And it's still true. Like, we can look at the outward appearance, but like God looks at the heart. And so when we're judging people, like you can't judge people based on their outward appearance. Like you also need to look at the heart and look at your own heart and, you know, respond from a place of that.
When we talk about judging people, I think that like for me sometimes, like I in the past have been like judgmental about people that I see if it's like a designer, something that I know costs a lot of money. I'm like, you know, that could have been used better, you know? So like in modesty, like we can judge people in every way. People do that to me. Like they'll see some shoes I wear and know the cost of them and be like, that's too much to spend on a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
So like those kind of things, it's like we can all look at them differently. Something that's expensive to me might not be expensive to you. Something that's not expensive to you might seem expensive to me, you know? But you might say like, oh, that's a good price. And someone else be like, what? That's ridiculous,
crazy,
you know?
Yeah.
So those are things that like change, and they change over time.
Yeah.
Because what is expensive, you know, back in 1910, what was expensive then, now we'd be like, that's nothing. That's so cheap.
So those are the things that aren't the truth to stand on, that changes with culture and changes with time and changes with who you are and where you're at, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so good. And you really have to be careful about that, because even Judas was so judgmental about Mary. Was it Mary? Yeah, Mary Martha. When her decision to, it's like, you could have spent that like so much better.
Yeah,
you could have like, you could have given that money to the poor, and he's like judging her. And Jesus is like, don't judge her. Like, surely like, this moment like will be remembered like throughout the history of time, because like she was preparing him for his death, which she didn't even know, you know, she was doing. But what she was doing, she was like pouring it all out to Jesus. And so like, you don't know people's heart. And I always say this, like I told Christian this, because there was a time where I was like excited to buy something that was really expensive, and it was a designer thing. And I was like, you know, God, I just want to say, like, if there was ever a moment that you asked me to give this to someone, I would, you know? And that's good. Like, and I try to live my life like that.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to buy something for me, I'll buy it for me. But like, I know, like, this is not mine. Like, I would give this up tomorrow if I saw someone who needed it. You might say, that's crazy. You even have that conversation when you're buying a purse or when you're buying shoes. But I think it's important that in whatever we do have that heart posture. And I wanted to actually read that in 1 Corinthians because I thought this was applicable to this conversation. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I was like, man, that is so good because it's like whatever you do, whether it's eating, drinking, dressing, acting, living, whatever, your job, like do it all for the glory of God. And so that was like my second question to ask yourself. I was like, who are you glorifying? Like, are you glorifying self or are you glorifying God? And the other one was, what are you reflecting? You know, what are you reflecting? And I think my question in that is, are you reflecting culture, you know, or are you reflecting Christ? And I think that it's not that you can't be trendy.
Yeah.
Like, I want to dress trendy. I want to dress cute. I actually like fashion. I think it's a fun way to represent who you are. It's a creative way to represent who you are. It's fun. It's all those things. But it's like, do I care more about fitting in with culture or really representing like my ultimate mission? And I think that there are certain things that definitely do look more like culture and definitely do look more like, you know, what I'm actually trying to represent. And I think that just comes with respecting yourself, you know, respecting yourself enough to say, you know, I don't need to show that part of my body because that's private because that's me and that's for me and my husband, you know, or that's not for anybody else to see. And mom and I were talking about this, and I think this is important to like talk about in this conversation is that, you know, modesty culture in the church can actually be pretty dangerous, you know. I think that a lot of people have experienced it in a negative way and they've gone the complete opposite. And I've experienced a lot of hurt from modesty culture in Christianity. I remember when Duck Dynasty first started, I would wear my blue jean shorts on the show and we would have so many Christians be like, you know, are you even a Christian? Like the way that you dress is so immodest. Or people would say to me that I'm setting a bad example for this generation because of the immodesty I dress in. And like, it honestly like made me feel so much like pressure and also like so sad and confused because I'm like, wait, does that make me not like a Christian? Does that make me not like, when that's actually not at all like what Christianity really is? And plus, like, as a teenager, like hearing people say that, I remember thinking, I can see why so many celebrities who grew up in the church turn and just like go worldly because it honestly makes you want to. Like when people say that, I'm like, this is really, this makes, well, watch me, you know, like watch me do it. Because it kind of makes you like, want to rebel.
This is what the church is about. This is what Christians are about.
Yeah.
Just picking apart whenever you're doing something, you know, you believe you're representing Christ when you're on TV or whatever, and you are. But then they're going to pick apart, like, okay, you wore these short shorts. I remember the second, I think it was the second night of Dancing with the Stars, and you had on denim shorts and like
and a tank top. But and it was not even
it was
like
a tank top. It was a button up.
Yeah, I mean,
button you can up, go back and it watch was, like, it. It was the country episode, and you know, the shorts weren't anything different than anyone would wear, you know, to the mall or whatever. But you got a lot of hate for that, and it was very hurtful to you.
Super hurtful.
It was very hurtful. It made you question everything. It made you, and I was like, no,
it was really hard too because like I was on Dancing with the Stars and like truly felt like I was being like a light, you know, and like representing, you know, Christianity and like who Jesus is and like showing people God's love there. And like, I mean, I would literally like pray over CBS Studios like every Monday night and just like really believe that like God was going to do something there, and God did do something.
Yeah.
And like even the judges kept saying like, you're such a light and all this stuff. Like I don't even know how to describe it's like this light, and it was,
and it was like the world was so noticing Jesus.
And the Christians were noticing my short shorts,
right?
And it was like everything that I was doing wrong, like the dance moves that they felt were immodest, the clothing that they felt was immodest, like picking me apart, and it was so hurtful. And literally that week, I don't know if you remember how much I cried,
you did,
how hurt I was, how mm-hmm. like I was just like so confused, like questioning mm-hmm. so much. And so that's hurtful. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I'm not the only one that's gone through that. A lot of people have gone through that. You don't have to be on Dancing with the Stars mm-hmm. to go through that. And so that, I think, is something that needs to be addressed. And I don't think you should ever be, like, shaming people or picking people apart. Like, I mean, if we're going to be like Jesus didn't mm-hmm. judge from the outward appearance. He looked at the heart of people's life. But I also think, like, in the same light, it's also dangerous. So it's dangerous to be a part of that culture. Mm-hmm. But it's also really dangerous to dress super provocatively. Yeah. And there is a lot of consequences that do come with that. Yeah. So I do think, like, you have to be wise. Like, mm-hmm. don't dress, you know, like...
Well, I think whenever we, you know, I do think we need to address that in this talk, because we're talking about, you know, modesty and like, and, you know, whenever you look back at modesty, it doesn't always mean, you know, dressing sexual or provocatively. Mm-hmm. But in this talk, I think we should talk about that as well, because I do think it's back to the heart. You know, it's like, for me, like, I don't want people to notice me because of that, you know, because of whatever, you know, I don't want people to notice me outside of my husband, to notice me sexually or whatever. I want people to notice me because I'm smart or funny or kind mm-hmm. or whatever, you know, all these things. I'm joyful, those kind of things. And I think as, you know, as women, we do need to kind of look at that and think, like, cause sometimes, you know, women, we put that out there. We're like, oh, notice me for my brain. But then we're, you know, trying to put these sexual images out there. And so I do think we have to be thoughtful of that. Now, does that mean it's our responsibility for what men think of us? No, it's not. It's not our responsibility. The Bible talks about, when it talks about lust, it says, if you look at a woman lustfully, you know, committed adultery in your heart. And he goes on to say, Jesus says this, he says, if your eye's causing you to sin, pluck it out. So it's not like if you're looking at someone lustfully and it's causing you to sin, make that woman cover up. It does not say that. It says if you're looking at someone lustfully and it's causing you to sin, pluck your own eye out. So you take responsibility for yourself and your own sin.
And that's such a good point to bring up, because so many women do feel so much pressure to not dress in such a way that, you know, let men stumble. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the verse that talks about, don't, you know, do anything that would cause a hindering block or to make another man stumble. And it says it in Romans 14, if you want to read it, it says, do not cause another to stumble, which I think we should address this verse, because mm-hmm. I know so many people are thinking, well, that's, I like what you're saying, Corey, but it does say don't cause another man to stumble.
Right, yeah. So there's these things that are clean or unclean, but it's not that's what's clean or unclean. Yeah. It's the heart. It's like, are you doing it as unto the Lord?
All goes back
to the heart. And so then he goes on to this part where he talks about being a stumbleblock or putting an obstacle in your brother's way. And all of this is really referring to like food and that kind of thing. But you can apply it. Yes, you can apply it to modesty or to whatever. Drinking, you know, if people apply that a lot of times to alcohol. Like if alcohol causes someone back to someone, you shouldn't do that in front of them. Yeah. Things like that. But that all goes back to the heart. But it you know, even in that scripture, it starts with, let us stop passing judgment on one another.
Yeah.
But within yourself, you need to know if I'm doing something that is intentionally causing a stumbling block to someone else.
And sometimes you
do it. And sometimes you are.
Sometimes you need to say, actually, I am. I love verse 19. So let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Yeah. Sorry. So let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Right. It's like, let's just pursue that in all mm-hmm. things that we do. Like, whatever we do, may it not be a stumbling block. And I think, like, sometimes because, like, we hear that one verse with that context, it's like, mm-hmm. if you don't read the Bible and open it up, you might think that it literally says in the Bible, do not dress a certain way, women, because it will be a stumbling block mm-hmm. to your brother. It actually doesn't say that. This is not even talking about women or the way that we dress or anything. It's mm-hmm. actually talking about food, you know? But it's actually talking about not being judgmental, because mm-hmm. it says at the beginning of that verse, it's the same verse, therefore let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. And so it's just really important. And I hope that even us doing these is encouraging you. When you hear something, even in the mm-hmm. church, when you hear a pastor say it, when you see a scripture, when it's just one line on Instagram, go to open up your Bible, read the whole text, understand what they're actually actually saying and what God's heart actually is for this. You have to understand all these disciples and all these people who are writing the letters to the church are people who walked with Jesus, who knew his heart, who loved his heart, and are trying the best they can to start the church based off of what they felt Jesus would have done. And then this word is God breathed. It's God approved. Mm-hmm. Everything in here, God's like, here's my stamp of approval. This is God breathed. This is how I want my church to look. And so it's just important that you don't just take one verse. Yeah. And I think that that's why, like, sometimes you take this one verse and you're like, man, this is really hard. This doesn't make sense or whatever. And there are verses that are hard to understand. Yeah. But then there are others that it's like, actually, that's not really hard to understand. I just misunderstood it because I didn't read the whole context. Yeah.
I think the end of that chapter is so good because it just kind of sums it all up. This is verse 22. It says, so whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself, but what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. So it's just, you know, it's back to the heart. It's back to the heart of the matter. Like, if you feel convicted about something that you wear, whether it's because it's too expensive or whether it's because it's provocative or sexual or whatever, if you feel convicted about that, then that's sin. Like, you need to be aware of that and be careful of that. But also, don't condemn others or don't be judgmental of others because of something that God has not convicted within them.
That's so good.
What do you want to be noticed for? Yeah. You know, and I think we can send mixed messages in that. Yeah. We can say, notice me for this. In the meantime, I'm putting out this sexual image by dressing provocatively or whatever. And it's not, to me, it's not always about, like, how much fabric there is on your body. Yeah. It's about what you're putting out there and what you're trying to portray.
What you're putting out there, and you know the heart behind why. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember in high school, you know, all the guys are pretty provocative in high school, and all the guys were like, who has the biggest butt? Who has the biggest boobs? Whose body is the best? You know, and like they're always talking about that.
Yeah.
So I remember like wanting my jeans to look good, like making sure I'm like, working the assets I got, you know? And then I'm like, why am I doing this, you know? And I actually remember, this is pretty bad, but I remember there's one day I was wearing my little jeans and a guy was behind me and he started singing the song Booty Work behind me. And he was like, left cheek, right cheek, left cheek. And I was like, boy, and I didn't like it. And I was like, that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
But then I was like asking myself, well, like, I actually have like kind of been wanting people to notice me like that. And then I got noticed like that. And I actually was like, I don't want to be noticed like that. Like, that's actually not the kind of attention I want to draw to myself.
That's good.
And so with that, I have to ask myself, okay, like, am I willing to stop dressing like that?
Right.
And am I going to trust that, like, God, like, I'm not going to try to get a man based off of, like, these different things that men are attracted to. Like, I really want to draw attention from a man who's going to see me and love me for my heart, who I am, my personality, because those are the things that's going to last.
And that's good.
It's so great when you get to the point of your heart, that contentment in your heart to say, like, you know what, God, like, this is what I want people to be attracted to, and it's actually you in me.
Yeah.
Because that is eternal. And when you bring attraction to yourself based off something that you know can change, there's actually so much insecurity attached with that. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if this changes, then they wouldn't love me.
That's good.
When if you attract someone to you that is attracted to you because of you and your heart and the Lord in you, those are the things that are never going to change. There's so much confidence just because, like, I can be going through the worst day, or I could not look very cute today, or gain a little weight in this season or whatever, but like the love for me is not going to change because I didn't attract them by the temporary things. I attracted them by the eternal things.
That's good.
And I think, like, that's so important you know, you attract people with the things that are eternal, because then that's how you're going to feel confident. I heard this thing the other day. It was so good. It was in a sermon, and it was like talking about, it was in Deuteronomy or something, where God said, like, something about, I love you. I love these people because I love these people. And it was like a repetitive thing of, like, I love you. And they were saying, I can't remember whose sermon I was listening to. I want to say, I really can't remember. So shout out to whoever said this. And they're talking about, like, if a husband says to the wife, like, I love you. And then she says, why do you love me? And then whatever they say after this point is so important. And he's like, because if they say anything other than I love you because I love you, it's not enough.
Yeah.
Because if they say I love you because you are, you know, because you're sexy. I love you because you're funny. I love you because you have a good attitude. Even those things. Because then you're like, well, what if I don't have a good attitude tomorrow? Yeah. What if I'm not funny all the time? Or what if I'm not sexy in this moment? It's like, well, then they don't love me. But if they love you because they love you, then that is like the only thing that's really going to satisfy you, because like that's never changing, and that's how God feels. So I do think like this is an important thing to talk about with modesty, because a lot of times like immodesty is like the way we go about trying to attract love when that's actually not the kind of attraction you want to get, because that is not going to be it's not going to stay. It's not going to last. And it's actually going to bring on more insecurity than security.
Right.
Which this could be an interesting segue into just security and confidence. Because I do think that a lot of women's push towards other women being modest sometimes does come from their own insecurity.
Yes.
And I think that is a really good thing to talk about, because I feel like I kind of used to be that way. I wanted everyone to dress modest because I was like, well, if I'm going to dress modest, then you need to dress modest because then the guys are going to notice you and not me for sure, because now I'm the modest dresser and you're not. And so it's like you cast out this like idea to everyone that they have to wear this certain thing when it's actually not biblical.
Right.
At all. You're saying it is because you're a Christian and they're saying it's biblical. It's actually not biblical. It's actually your insecurity wanting to make sure everyone's on the same equal playing field.
That's really
good. But you have to trust, like, if God's convicted you for that, trust that God is also going to come through with you for that.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's going to honor you in that way. He's going to see you in that way. You're going to be, you know, blessed by just the blessing of the Lord in those ways. And so, you know, you just have to trust that, you know, if you feel convicted, then you're going to have to obey that conviction and you're going to receive the blessing of the Lord. And
but
that
you can't put that on
you
everybody
can't put
else,
that on
let the Spirit
else.
Work on them as well. Yeah. I was thinking also about like in this, you know, you mentioned like modesty culture in the church, or like people talk about purity culture in the church. And I think there's a piece of that that is harmful in that, like, we get so scared of our bodies, like our bodies are sinful. Our bodies are wrong. Our bodies are, so we're so scared. And then you become an adult, you enter marriage or whatever, and you've just been taught to be so fearful of your body that there's difficulties that can come with that too. And I just think that's really harmful. And like, our bodies were, God gave us our bodies. He made them beautiful for a reason. And there's nothing to be ashamed of in that. Yeah. I'll never forget whenever I was a kid and my dad did something that actually like helped me, I think, with this, because I was like probably like fourth grade. And I remember it's weird that I have this memory, but our game room at our house had these big windows on the back. And I love to like watch TV at night, and there I love to watch Nick at Night. And so I remember I changed into my pajamas in the game room, and these windows were in the back, and these boys were outside my window, and they knocked and like let me know that they had just seen me change. And I went, she was like bawling to my mom and dad, like, they just saw me change, and I didn't, you know, I didn't mean to and everything. And my dad was like, it's all right, so what? You didn't know, they didn't, it doesn't matter. You got a body, they got a body, whatever, you know? And he just like made it be nothing, you know, and just helped me to not be ashamed of my body, to know that like, I didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't trying to like change in front of boys or whatever. It just happened, and it wasn't a big deal, you know? And I remember that just really distinctly, because I think it was a way for my dad to just say like, you're okay. That's not a big deal. Your body's your body. You're not like trying to be sexy or provocative. You're fourth grade or whatever.
Changing your clothes.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just thought that was a helpful thing for me, I think.
Yeah.
Kind of growing up in a church that, you know, you did like, count the inches from your knees or whatever.
Truly, yeah.
And like those of you who have grown up in the church probably know what that feels like.
Yeah.
Another thing, when you talked about like insecurity and anxiety, actually I was, you know, just looking through the Bible just to find places that talks about our clothes, about modesty and everything. And Jesus actually talked about our clothes in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. This is Matthew 6. And he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Mm. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Mm. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And I just thought that was so good, because it just, like, clarifies that, you know, like, this is the outward. What, like, mm-hmm. all these things we're talking about, this is about the outward appearance. And mm-hmm. and Jesus just always, always goes back to, like, seek first his kingdom. Mm-hmm. Follow him. It's about what the inner beauty, and Jesus is going to take care yeah. of those things for you, you know? So I just thought that was really good.
So true. That's so good. Yeah. Overall, I mean, it kind of goes back to even the tattoo thing, which mm-hmm. I think most of these conversations will go back to that, because yeah. Jesus always went back to the heart, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was never about just the outward appearance. It was always about the heart. Mm-hmm. It was never just about the outward deeds. It was always about the, yeah. what the heart's intentions were.
You know, there are things in scripture that clearly laid out, like, sin, you know,
yes,
that is
for sure.
surely misses the mark from what God calls us to. So it's not like all this thing is like a moving target that we can't ever know. Like, there are things that God lays out and says, like, look, this is against the heart of God. This is not what I want. This is, you know, actual
yeah.
like sin.
There is sin.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's laid out in the Bible.
Like, there definitely is immodest mm-hmm. dressing, and
yes.
you know, and you know what that is.
Yeah.
And I think if you are a Christian and you're dressing in an immodest way, if you're trying to, like, convince yourself that it's okay, it's probably not okay. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times when conviction comes, we try to, like, convince ourselves,
yeah.
like, well, it's not that bad because so and so said it wasn't that bad, or they did it, or
mm-hmm.
if you're trying to, like, convince yourself, like, oh, I
yeah.
think it's okay,
yeah.
then it's probably not okay, you
right.
know. And if you're
yeah.
going out and you know, like, for a fact, like, this outfit is to draw attention to your chest, to
yeah.
your butt, to your things that really should just be private and meant
mm-hmm.
for you. Like, maybe just ask yourself, like, does this really need
yeah.
to be worn? Does it, do I really,
yeah.
am I putting out what attention I actually want to receive? Like I said,
mm-hmm.
when I was wearing the jeans I was wearing, with the tops I was wearing, I was seeking that kind of attention. And then when I got it, I'm like, that's actually not really what I want. You
right.
know, like, are you
yeah.
actually putting mm-hmm. out what you want to get back in return? We want respect
mm-hmm.
a lot, you know, as
yeah.
women. If you want respect, dress in a respectful way. Present
right.
yourself in a respectful way, and you will get
mm-hmm.
respect. But I do think, like, that is so important. And on the other hand, the church thing is so important as well, to not be too overcritical of other people or judgmental
yeah.
and to not see your body as a bad thing. Because
mm-hmm.
one of I think the coolest verses is, honestly, used to make me laugh when I was little in church, whenever a pastor would say, and they were naked and felt no shame. But I love that verse about Adam
yeah.
and Eve, because they were a married couple who, you know, were naked and felt no shame. They,
yeah.
This was before sin entered. This was when they were just together and, like, holy, like, union.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, like, such a beautiful thing that I feel like God truly still has for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, in marriage, when you get married, you know, under just the purity and the loveliness of what God created for marriage, you can be naked and feel no
yeah.
shame. And I feel like that's what God has for us. And if you feel shame in those ways because of something someone put on you or said about your body in a unhealthy way, then I do feel like that's something that maybe the Lord can redeem in your life, and maybe you can talk to someone who can help you through that, because that's not God's intention for your body or for
mm-hmm.
your marriage or for your life. So anyways, I know we went to a lot of different places, and like we said, this was not going to be a perfect conversation. This was not going to be like, here's what it says, and this is exactly what you're supposed to do, and this is,
yeah.
these are just some thoughts, some questions
yeah.
to ask yourself, some places in scripture to go.
Mm-hmm.
Again, every time we do a conversation like this, it is going to be to seek the heart of Jesus. It is going
yeah.
to be to lead us into what his heart is for us, for our bodies, for our lives, for our marriages, for our friendships, for our communities, for ourselves. And so that's what we're trying to do. That's the understanding we're trying to bring. We're always going to, you know, base this off biblical truth, and we're always going to try to apply our everyday life to that and get as close as we can to being obedient to the heart of God. And so that's what we are striving to do. That's what we hope you feel. And I hope that you are encouraged by this conversation. conversation. I feel like this brings no shame to anyone. This only encourages you in your life and in your lifestyle. It's actually funny. I saw that someone commented on my last video, the 4 or 5 minute one that I did, and they said, "This was so good and so helpful. I'm going to go clean up my closet now." And, you know, and me doing this, I wasn't saying, "You need to go clean out your closet," right, you know. Yeah. But if the Spirit convicts that in your life, I think that's awesome. Yeah. I think, once again, you have to follow your convictions that you feel and not judge others for the ones that they have or don't have. So we're super excited to continue talking about these conversations. If you have the desire to hear about another one, drop in the comments below. We have a couple that we've been thinking about based off ones that you've already said. Give us topics, give us ideas, but I hope this furthers your understanding of what it looks like to be modest and what it looks like to honor God with our modesty.